The title of my message is Never Let Christ Slip Away, taken from Hebrews 2, verse 1. We read, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I read an article about a woman that had something very important slip off her left finger. The article read, Black Friday was one of the busiest shopping days of the year at stores. For workers, it means ringing up customers as quick as they can. But a heartbroken cashier at a major retail store hopes one shopper will realize they went home with more than just a great deal. Juliana Adams started work at the store before dawn. After about 4 hours on the job, the line seemed to be getting longer and longer, and Adams sensed something wasn't right. She said, I felt something fall off my hand, but I didn't really think about it because I had a huge line of people. As she moved on to the next customer, she realized, ringing customers up, she had left her ringless finger. Something had fallen from her left hand. My wedding ring was gone, and the lady was gone, she said. Adams fought back tears, but stayed behind her register. My ring is small, it's nothing special, but it's a ring I want to show my kids, said Adams. She believes the ring fell into the bag of a blonde woman who paid cash for a $10 vest. She hopes everyone who came through her line at the store will check their bags. It just breaks my heart. And what scares me is people don't look in their bags, they just throw them away when they get home. As I read this article, I was especially drawn to her words. My ring is small. It's nothing special, but it's a ring I want to show my kids. Well, as I thought about that, it was special to her. That ring was precious to her because of what it represented. It was a symbol of love and commitment from her spouse. And she didn't intend that day for the ring to slip off her finger. It did, however, and her heart was broken. And so too, most people don't deliberately intend to drift away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with an inch, then a foot, and before long it stretches out to be miles away from Christ. And if you ever ask a backslider, how did you get to this point? They wouldn't say, well, I intended to get to this point when I first started drifting away from the Lord. It takes one step away, then another step away, before you know it, you're really away from the Lord, and He's as if He's a stranger to you. Well, Paul warns in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, that there is a danger of us slipping away from the true faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, according to the words of Paul, it is possible for us to slip away from Christ. We know that Christ will never slip away from us, but we can slip away from Christ. And slipping away from Christ is a very clear and present danger we all face. I face it. As a minister, you face it as a follower of Jesus Christ. And there are certain things that slip away from us that we can't do anything about. Life is slipping away from us, so people say. Time is slipping away. Where is the time gone? It just seems to be slipping away. Youth slips away from us. I remember when I was 10 years old. Now I'm a little older. And I asked myself, where has the time gone? I'm no longer that young boy that I used to be. Beauty slips away from us. Ladies, that's something that's hard for us to come to grips with. And for men, strength slips away from us. I remember when I was in high school, I used to lift all these weights. I had the dumbbells and the freestyle weights, and I was strong. Now if I tried it, if I tried to push that bar off the bench, it'd probably come down and break my neck or kill me. But my strength, I'm not as strong as I used to be. It just slips away. And these things are beyond our control. We can't turn back the clock. We can't stop these processes from happening. But Paul reminds the church here in Hebrews 2 that Christ must never slip away. There's a beautiful poem I liked when I read this, written by a woman by the name of Kathleen Hyams, entitled Slipping Away. Slipping Away. Listen to this poem. When I was young, I crawled, then with help I walked. Along the way, words came, and amazingly, I talked. Somewhere I began to run. The years passed frantically by, losing myself in the race, till I stopped, wondered, why? Where did the time go? My life is slipping away. Everything has become a blur. A blink turns into a day. Having never mastered patience, waiting anxiously for tomorrow, but one day I dreaded it, when to me came much sorrow. Now every second spins the hand, the clock that won't be still. Time is slipping, slipping away, for life has lost its thrill. Then quietly I call to Him, my God who sifts the sand. Growing old, it matters not. Each moment He has planned. I find that I'm running again, running to Him. I sigh. Time is certainly slipping away, but it doesn't matter why. Every second spins the hand, and this weary heart can see, my God who sifts the sand never slipped away from me. What a powerful poem that contrasts our changeableness to God's unchangeableness. The message for us today from Hebrews chapter 2 is that we must heed the warning and never let Christ slip away from us. Jonathan Edwards, the American theologian who lived during the Great Awakening of the 1700s, wrote, "I will live for God, and if no one else does, I still will." The psalmist expresses his concern of slipping away from the Lord in Psalm 17, verse 5. Hold up my goings and thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. There are three questions I'd like to ask and answer this morning from our text in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. First, what does it mean to slip away from Christ? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. Or the word could be translated drift away. It literally means to flow past and so to glide, to be washed away. Figuratively, as in the present verse, the Greek word means to slip or drift away from belief or faith in Christ. And it's a picture of a gradual, almost unnoticed movement past a certain point. It describes that carelessness of mind, which perhaps occupied by other things, is not aware it is losing ground. Paul was writing to Hebrew Christians who were tempted to leave Christ and return back to Judaism. They were being tempted to forsake Christ and the gospel and return back to the ceremonial laws and to return back to their Judaism practices, which was going backwards, not forward, in the things of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 5, 10 and 12, all of these chapters are passages that warn the church of the danger of slipping away from Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's an important theme that we must consider in our lives as Christians. Slipping away from Christ is like a ship drifting without anchorage, and so drifting away from its moorings and from a place of safety to one of danger. And the danger that Paul highlights is that of a great loss occurring unnoticed. Remember that story I told you about the woman who lost her wedding ring? And there was something that she felt that wasn't right, but she ignored it. She was distracted by the lines in the store. And yet there was something that was pressing on her, that something didn't feel right, but yet she ignored those pressings. She ignored her feelings. She ignored her intuition, and she just kept going. Isn't that so often the case when it comes to those who are in the midst of God's people and in the midst of the preaching of the Word of God, that we're walking and there's something that we need to get right with God? There's something that isn't right. It doesn't feel right in our lives. And perhaps the Lord comes in a conviction and He convicts us of a word, convicts us of a sin in our life. And yet we ignore it because we're distracted by the things of the world. We become distracted by our thoughts. We become distracted by our feelings. And the devil comes and he distracts us. He chokes us. He wants us to not think about that feeling that's pressing upon us, so we just ignore it. And before you know it, we ignore this feeling that the Lord is convicting us of, and another feeling, and before you know it, we're so far away from the Lord, we've repressed the convictions of the Lord in His Word, and we've laid hold on the things of the world. I know I've done that. I've ignored the Lord's warnings. I've ignored the Lord's Word. I've ignored the Lord speaking to me. And I've slipped away from the Lord. And it's not even something that I notice. People notice it. People can look at someone else's life and say, "Have you noticed this person? Have you noticed that person?" But the person themselves oftentimes don't know, they don't notice it. I don't notice it when I start to slip away from the Lord oftentimes. And I need something other than myself to show me that I'm slipping away, that I'm drifting away. Maybe it's the Word of God. Maybe it's a brother or sister who comes up to me and says a word to me and is concerned for me. Whatever it is, I have to listen and heed to those pressings in my own soul and my consciousness when God is speaking to my heart. We cannot repress them. We cannot just ignore them. But we must listen. We must heed. We must be careful to listen to the Word of the living God. Listen to what one commentator says: inattention or apathy will rob us of our treasure in Christ. It is not necessary to openly renounce the gospel. One can remain lost by simply and quietly drifting away from hearing it, or hearing it with no comprehension of the seriousness of its message. And that's the great fear that I have as a preacher. I stand up here on Sunday, and the Lord has given me a word to preach, a serious, sobering word. And I look out into the eyes of those who I preach, and I have to ask myself, do they understand the seriousness of what I'm saying? Do they understand that what I'm dealing with has to do with eternity? That what I'm talking about has to do with their souls that will never die? A message of grace and mercy from Jesus Christ to turn to Him and cling to Him. And I look out into the congregation at times and I have people playing on their cell phones and they're looking up messages, texting this person and texting that person. And I'm preaching the gospel of Christ. A serious message. And it has to be heeded to. It has to be listened to with one's heart. There's no room for distraction when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. We have to take heed, my friend. We have to take heed to what is being said, what is being preached. I have to take heed. You have to take heed. Coming into the Lord's house, we have to come prepared to hear God speak to my heart. Do you come to the Lord's house prepared? Do you come to the Lord's house with this desire, "Lord, I need a word from You. I have to have a word from You. You are my bread. You are my life. You are my water. You are my all. Lord, speak to me. Convict me of my sin. If I don't see it, Lord, let me not slip away. Show me so that I can repent of my sins and I can walk with you in a closer way. Young people, you need to take heed to the Word of God. You need to listen to what God is saying in His Word. Don't listen to what I say and my opinions or what I think. Listen to the Word of God as I preach it. If I preach the Word of God, listen to the Word of God because it's God's Word. It's not my Word. And heed it. Obey it. Pray over it. Say, Lord, I don't want to slip away. I don't want to go through my life unknowing that I'm drifting and drifting further and further away from you. And even in my sermon in preparation for the Lord's Day, when I come into the house of God, Lord, help me to be ready to hear the Word of God read and preached. Help me to worship, Lord. Help me to pray. Help me to sing. Help me to, Lord, be engaged with you. Matthew Henry explains the danger and propensity of drifting, writing that the great loss we shall sustain if we do not take this earnest heed to the things which we have heard, we shall let them slip. They will leak and run out of our heads, lips, and lives, and we shall be great losers by our neglect. When we have received gospel truths into our minds, we are in danger of letting them slip out. Our minds and memories are like a leaky vessel. They do not without much care retain what is poured into them. This proceeds from the corruption of our natures, the enmity and subtlety of Satan, who steals away the word from the entanglements and snares of the world, the thorns that choke the good seed. We're all leaky vessels, my friends. When we come to hear the Word of God, the Word of God leaks out of us. We don't retain it. We don't remember it. It doesn't stay with us. We have to guard against leaky vessels. We have to guard ourselves, especially because it's the aim of the evil one to come and to take away the Word from our hearts. What's the temptation after the Word of God is preached, after the service, is to talk about everything but the Word of God? It's to talk about your job. It's to talk about your work. It's to talk about your health. It's to talk about your family. It's to talk about your money. It's to talk about everything but the message. And that's a sign that you're a leaky vessel. That you're not taking heed. That I am not taking heed. And I have no one to preach to but myself here. I've been guilty of talking to people outside this door right after I preached, and I've asked them, how's your work going? How's it going with your job? What am I doing? I'm taking the word that was just sown and I'm taking their mind off of it. I'm taking your thoughts off of it. And you're leaking. I'm causing you to leak the Word of God. And the devil wants to come and he wants to do that. He wants to steal the word. He wants to snatch the word. And brethren, we have to be so jealous that after the preaching of the Word of God, after the service, that we guard this very carefully and very jealously. Be careful what you talk about after the preaching of the word. Be careful the subjects that you talk about. I'm not trying to be a joy kill here. I want you to talk to people. I want you to fellowship. I want you to talk about to people. I don't want you to go in some corner and just stay to yourself. I want you to talk, but I want you to talk about the things that were just preached. I want you to talk about the things that pertain to the kingdom. You can talk about your jobs anytime. You can talk about work anytime. But talk about the message. Talk about the preaching. Talk about the scripture. Talk about Christ. Because we let these things slip away so innocently and so subtly. And yet we don't realize that by doing that, we're the losers. We're robbing ourselves of the blessing of the Word of God and the Gospel. I'm robbing myself. I'm robbing my flock. of the blessing of God's Word working in their hearts, conforming them more to Christ. We need to be aware of this, my friend. I need to be aware of it. I was convicted as I studied this. I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. I want you to be blessed by the Word of God. Not just during the Word of God, not just during the preaching, but after the preaching. I want you to be able to take the Word of God with you so that you can apply it in your life during the week. I don't want you to be a leaky vessel, walk out of the church, and you couldn't even tell me what I preached on last week, let alone an hour ago. We cannot be leaky vessels. We've got to be jealous of that time. Guard it with all your hearts, my friend. J.C. Ryle wrote a very piercing observation here. He makes a very piercing observation. He says, of all unhappy things that can befall a man, a backslider, I suppose, is the worst. A stranded ship, an eagle with a broken wing, a garden covered with weeds, a harp without strings, a church in ruins, all these are sad sights, but a backslider is a sadder sight still. And if you've ever been in a backslidden condition, you're the most miserable person on the face of the earth. And this is what Paul is trying to prevent us from becoming. He's trying to prevent us from becoming backsliders in Hebrews 2 verse 1. Because when you backslide, not only you're miserable in yourself, you're miserable to other people, and you are miserable, you have a miserable relationship with God. We need to take this word very seriously today. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, we all need to have this word come to our hearts with power. Secondly, when do we slip away from Christ? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we can slip away from Christ at any time, Paul is saying. Slipping away occurs when something or someone has replaced Christ in our life. This could be a wrong relationship that we have. Young people, I want you to listen to me here. We have to be careful what kind of relationships we get ourselves involved in. Because when we get in a wrong relationship, that leads to compromises. If we have a relationship with someone who doesn't love the Lord, they're going to rub off on us more than we're going to rub off on them. And they're going to cause us to compromise. They're going to cause us to drift away from the Lord. They're going to cause us to slip away. I have more to say about this in just a moment. But young people, I'm preaching to you because I know this is a great temptation that you face in your life. You have to be so careful. You have to guard this with your whole life here. Because the devil will come and tempt you to have wrong relationships. He's doing it all the time. And what's that an indication of? When you get into a wrong relationship, you're slipping away from the Lord. You're drifting away from Christ. What else can be things that cause us to slip away from Christ? Yes, wrong relationships. But the things of the world. How about sports? Today's the Super Bowl. I love football. I played football when I was in high school. I love the sport. I love the competition. I love the physical part of it. You're hitting people. I like contact. I wrestled. I played football. But like anything, man has a way of perverting things. Man has a way of taking things to an extreme. And he's done that with football. I remember when football was Monday night football. That was the big night, right? I was a kid. I used to watch Monday night football with, who was the famous announcer? Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford and the other guys. I used to watch that when I was a kid. But now I noticed that not only is it Monday night football, but now they have Sunday night football. And Sunday night football now is prime time. It's taken the place of Monday night football. And I have to make a decision in my own heart. I love football. I like football. It's something that is part of me. But am I willing to compromise the Word of God so that I can follow football, so that I can enjoy my football on Sunday, on the Lord's Day? They're playing the Super Bowl in my hometown of Indianapolis, where I lived for 8 years. And I've drove by that stadium many times. And I used to tell my wife, there's the temple. This huge Coliseum, where every Sunday, worshipers go into that temple and worship the God of sports, the God of football. And they're not just mild fans, they're fanatics. Some of them dress up and paint themselves and act like they're possessed of the devil to support their team. And boy, what a stumbling block sports has become for the Christian today. And I get torn. Am I going to watch football on Sunday? And I'll tell you, that's a temptation that I have. And I have to say, no, I'm not. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it. Because it's the Lord's day. It's the day that belongs to the Lord. He is worthy of my worship all day. He's worthy of my affection, my attention, my love for Him. And I'm not going to let the world come in and rob me of that privilege and joy and blessing I have. It's a temptation though, my friend. I'm tempted to watch the Super Bowl. I'm tempted to watch sports on Sunday. And I have to cry out to the Lord, God, help me. Help me not slip away. Help me not drift away from this. I quoted an interesting quote in Sunday school from one of the quarterbacks on one of the teams in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady. Listen to what he has to say about the purpose and meaning of life. He says this, "Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me?" I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, "Hey man, this is it. You've reached your goal. You've lived your dream. You have the perfect life." And yet Tom Brady says, "God, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be." Here's a man that has everything a man could want. Fame, fortune, power, everything. And yet he says, there is something lacking in my life. There's something wanting in my life. And he's crying out for that void in his heart to be full, to be filled. What is that void that he needs to be full? It's Christ. It's only Christ who can fill that void, Tom. It's only Christ who can make you full, take away your emptiness. Your fortune can't, your fame can't, your football wins can't, your stardom can't. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. And for Tom Brady, he's discovering that all the joys of the world are just a name. There's no substance to it. There's no meaning. There's no purpose. What is life all about? It's about Christ. And it's about having a living relationship with Him. That's what purpose and meaning is in life. So you have sports that can cause us to slip away. What about TV and internet, entertainment? Just about anything can take us away from the Lord. Even work can take us away from the Lord if we're not careful. You know, we have such desperately deceitful hearts that we can take something that the Lord has blessed us with, something that He's been so gracious to give us, like a job or work, and we, because we can pervert things as sinners, we could take that good thing that God has given to us and we can elevate that above God, the one who gave it to us, the one who provided for us. And work today, for many people, is more important than anything else. And we have to be so careful as followers of Christ that we don't let anything take the place of Christ. Whether it be work, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be anything, Christ must have the preeminence. Christ must be the one who we stand in and love. All these other things have the power and potential to cause us to slip away, take us away from Christ. Slipping away from the Lord occurs when you're not growing spiritually. In fact, you're starting to see old habits bubble to the surface. At times when we slip away from the Lord, temptations that didn't used to bother us and cause us grief and problems are all of a sudden, they seem to have power in our lives. Thoughts that seem to have for a moment, for a season, have been under control, all of a sudden they seem to burst out. And we have these temptations of lust, of covetousness, of greed, of selfishness. And they break out all of a sudden, these bursts of temptations. And there are times when we don't seem like we have any power against them. And oftentimes, what's that an indication of? What's that evidence of? That we've slipped away from the Lord. We've drifted away from Christ. Because when we walk with the Lord promises to give us power over temptation. He promises to give us the strength to resist the devil and to flee temptation. And oftentimes, we find ourselves not growing in the things of the Lord is because we've drifted away from the Lord. We have slipped. And when we slip, we become vulnerable to temptation, to the attacks of the devil. We all know what that is. I know what that's like. There comes a season in my life, why am I going through these temptations? Why are they so intense? Why are they so powerful? And oftentimes, what I've found in my own life is, what happens is, I've been fanning these things in my life, and then these things come about, these temptations or these sins come about, because I have not been walking close with the Lord, I've been walking close in the world. And I find myself falling on my knees and saying, Lord, forgive me, I've drifted away from You. I haven't had that close, intimate relationship with You that I should. Lord, forgive me. Maybe you're there and old habits are bubbling to the surface. You need the Lord to come and meet with you. You need the Lord to come and give you that heart for Him. And slipping away from the Lord occurs when there's little to no desire to repent of your sins. Your interest in other things has so replaced God that you really just don't care anymore about repenting of your sin. You don't take seriously repentance anymore. The Scripture teaches that we must keep short accounts with the Lord. What do I mean by that? We can't let sin go unconfessed for very long in our lives. We're reformed in our theology. We're Christian by conviction, but we sin still. Those who are reformed are still those who sin, and we need to confess our sins. We need to say, Lord, I need to keep short accounts with You, because if I don't, that's evidence that I'm slipping away from You. I'm drifting away from You. God, give me a repentant heart. Give me a heart that hates sin. We all need to repent of our sins. Doesn't matter how long you've been coming to this church. Doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. We've got to confess our sins to the Lord. We've got to own them. We've got to say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need you to forgive me of my sins. And what happens when we don't confess them? It's a sign we're slipping away from the Lord. We become insensitive to sin. We become numb to sin. Oh, we need the Lord to come and deliver us from our sins. So what can we do to prevent slipping away from Christ? This text tells us, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That's the answer. The verb must or ought here in the Authorized Version is very strong and emphatic and calls for us to take responsibility. Why? So we don't drift. The verb is in the active voice, meaning that we must do it. We must give ourselves to the earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We can't have someone else do it for us. We must do it. Do what? We must hear, we must obey, and we must exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul uses a strong verb, must, again in his explanation of how we can please God, writing that Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must exercise faith in Christ. We must believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one else will do that for us. Oh, that God might give me that desire to exercise faith in Him, to trust in Him, to have my heart, to have my mind, to have my thoughts bent towards God. We must exercise faith. We must be careful to believe in the Lord. The word for earnest in this text is a serious, firm, and fixed settling of the mind upon that which we hear. It's a bowing, a bending of the will to yield unto it, an applying of the heart to it, a placing of the affections upon it, and bringing the whole man into conformity unto it. We must take heed to what we hear and how we hear. If we don't, then we can slip and get hurt. Remember our brother John Hellam. John was telling me a story about when he was in the hospital and they brought in a man for emergency surgery. And I think John was telling me that this man had slipped on the ice and had broken his hip or broken some bones, and they rushed him and he was in for emergency surgery. And what a picture that is of the dangers of slipping, because when we slip, we can hurt ourselves. We can hurt ourselves. We can hurt our testimony. We can hurt our witness. We can hurt our families. We can hurt our church. We get hurt when we slip. And Paul is saying in Hebrews 2 to be careful not to slip. John gave me a good word of advice when you're walking on ice. Make sure that you kind of shuffle your feet. This. Because if you walk like this, you have a tendency to slip and you lose your balance. And what can happen? You can really hurt yourself. You can break things. Right? So you have to be careful. So I've taken his word, his advice very literally. So when you see me walking on the ice, I'm this. I don't want to get hurt. I want to listen to what people tell me to do, because no one wants to get hurt, but yet we don't think about it, and we start walking, and all of a sudden we lose balance. The next thing you know, we fly up in the air, and we come down, and we're like that. We could be like that man who was brought in for emergency surgery. That's why we need to heed the Word of God. There are too many Christians today that are walking on the ice, and they're losing their balance, and they come crashing down, and they get hurt. Listen to the words of Joshua 23. Joshua, this is a critical time in the history of Israel. And the Lord is telling Joshua, giving Joshua some advice to the people of God. And we specifically that they are not to have relationships with the ungodly in the land, that they are not to marry those who are ungodly, to have relationships with those who are outside the fold of God. Listen to these words. Same, very similar language to what how Paul writes here in Hebrews 2. Joshua 23, verses 11 through 13. It says, take good heed. I love that word, good heed. Not just heed, but take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. What words of warning that God gives to His people. And young people, if you get into a relationship, a wrong relationship, you're going to get hurt. That's what God is saying to the people of Israel. These people that you think love you, they're going to be your snare. They're going to entrap you. They're going to scourge your sides and thorns in your eyes. It's God's word. It's plain, simple, clear. And yet it has to be applied to our lives. We must be careful to follow the Lord. We must encourage each other in Christ. That helps from slipping when we encourage one another. I remember being in the Colin's house the other day, and I had the baby with the car seat in my right hand, and I was going down their little stairs there where it leads up to the living room, and I lost my footing. I slipped, and I grabbed the banister. And my wife held on to me real quickly. And I thought, you know, if the banister wasn't there and my wife wasn't there, I could have really hurt myself. I could have hurt the baby, dropped the baby. And that really spoke to my heart about how the Lord places God's people in our lives to help us not hurt ourselves. That sometimes we are in slippery places. And we might be slipping, we might be falling, and yet the Lord brings someone into our life to keep us from really hurting ourselves. And that's a mark of grace and mercy that the Lord shows to His people. He brings people into our lives to build us up, to encourage us in the things of God, to keep us from hurting ourselves. That's what God is doing by having us belong to a church that functions properly. A church that functions properly is a church that is designed to encourage one another and to build one another up. It's not to stay away from people. It's not to keep to yourself. It's not to just do your own thing and just keep a distance. But in order for the body of Christ to properly function and help each other and encourage, we have to get close to each other, because when we do go to slip, the body of Christ is there to help us so that our fall might be braced, so it won't hurt as much. But if there wasn't anyone there when I was walking down those steps, I could have really hurt myself. But thankfully, there were people there that were helpers. And oh, that the Lord might bring people into our life to help us in our walk with the Lord. You don't want people in your life that will take you away from the Lord, that will discourage you. We can't bless relationships like that. We have to be very, very careful. Our relationships. I love the words in Romans chapter 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I have helpers in the gospel. They're Aquila and Priscilla. And they aided Paul in his work. They encouraged him. Even the Apostle Paul sometimes lost his footing and he was slipping. He needed somebody there to help him. And he had his helpers there to encourage him and to strengthen him in his walk with the Lord. Particular instance of how Priscilla and Aquila helped the people of God is recorded in Acts chapter 18, verse 26. We read, "And he," that is Apollos, "began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Here was this mighty man, Apollos, preaching. And Priscilla and Aquila heard this great preacher of Christ, and yet they knew that he was a little rough on the edges. He needed to be told some things and taught some things. It says that they took him aside and they helped him understand things. And Apollos wasn't the type of man that felt offended. Like, how dare you suggest something to me? Who are you? He was a man that took the words of the advice of Aquila and Priscilla to heart. But you see how this is the functioning of the body of Christ, how it should be functioning. It should be helping each other, encouraging one another in the things of Christ. And if we're doing that, that will prevent us from slipping, prevent us from drifting away. Are you encouraging one another in the faith? Are you tearing down? Are you looking at the faults of others primarily first? And then if there's anything else left to be said, then you say a word, maybe a positive word, or do you reverse it and say, "I'm going to encourage my brother and sister in the Lord. I'm going to help them. I'm going to be there for them." And I thank God for God's people in this place who are encouragement to my own soul and who help me and encourage me in the things of God. I don't know where I'd be if it weren't for the Lord's people. The Lord's people are truly dear folks who love each other and love the Lord. In closing, Paul warns us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, not to slip away from Christ. Slipping away from Christ is a clear and present danger we all face. Slipping away occurs when something or someone has replaced Christ in our life. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We must be careful to follow the Lord and to encourage each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray.